You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Homies. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hey, New Point, we've all been there, haven't we? You know, we either had mom or dad or maybe a husband or a wife or maybe just a friend say something and the timing was bad and it just got real awkward. Matter of fact, it embarrassed us. And that's the power of words. It's the power of words. Words have a tremendous impact and effect on our lives. And we're in this series called Homies, taking the family to a whole new level, taking our homies to a whole new level in how we relate and how we live with one another. And we've been looking at different things. We've looked at the power of priorities. We looked at the power of love. We've looked at the power of mercy. Last week, we looked at the power of serving. And today we want to talk about the power of words. And as you've already seen today, words make a big, big difference. They're huge. They're important. They can change everything. And I know that firsthand because I have world-class experience on messing up words. I mean, if you've been here very long, you've heard my masterful piece on pronouncing some words and getting words wrong. My family pokes fun at me all the time, and it can change the whole way a conversation goes. And yet that can be funny. But there's another side to it that's not funny. It's very painful. It's very hurtful. You know, have you ever said something or dismiss something that was significant, but you didn't realize it at the time? You just looked over it, you passed through it, only to find out later that what you said was huge. It made a huge impact. You know, I'm sure that all of us can recall instances in our life of where we've experienced that, where just a few words, positive or negative, has played a huge role in our life and even the direction and the course of our life, because words have tremendous power. They carry tremendous weight. And studies have proved that this little saying that most of us here would probably know about is completely wrong. And it goes like this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never what? Words will never hurt me. That's a lie. That's a lie. And they have even done studies on this. They've done surveys of where they have pulled adults. And adults have said, you know what? I've gotten over my physical pain of my childhood, but I'm still reaping the consequences of the emotional pain that I suffered through the words that were spoken to me. And that's how powerful words are. They're very, very, very powerful. And you and I might not fully understand it. Or you might feel like, Dwight, you're overhyping this. But the fact of the matter is, what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 18 is true. And here's what he says. He says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, that's not overhyping. I'm not exaggerating. That's the truth. And all of us here have been on the end of someone else's words that have been very painful, very destructive, very harmful. And we're still not over it. They say that the average person speaks 16,000 words a day. That's a lot of words. It's a lot of words. Some of us speak more than that, which means that basically our tendency and our natural thought process is to underestimate the words because we say so many words every single day. And we think, you know what, they can't all be important. And so we have a tendency to underestimate them. And yet the words that you and I speak in one day could fill up a 60-page book. So basically, we're writing a book every day with the words that we speak and our interactions with other people. And so I know I can become careless with my words because I'm constantly speaking and talking. And no doubt you can become careless with your words because we're in this dialogue, we're in this conversation with people all the time. And so just a few words, maybe three or four or five connected together, can do devastating things to our lives. Let me give you an example. Because they can come from maybe a dad, they can come from a mom, they can come from a leader, a boss, they can come from a coach or a teacher. You know, something like this: you'll never amount to anything. I wish I never had you. You're nothing like your brother. You're nothing like your sister. You know, I'm sick of you. I never did love you. You'll never change. See, words are powerful. And just me speaking those words right now hit a tender spot in your heart. And your mind is just going like this. And you may be saying, Dwight, did you have to go there? Did you have to remind me of those words that have been spoken over me? You see, the words that we speak affect everybody around us. They affect our children. They affect our spouse. They affect our co-workers. They affect our homies. And your words as well as my words, it affects my relationship with God. It affects my relationship with people around me and that I live with. And words even affect me. My own words can affect me. And Jesus had much to say about words. And even his brother, his half-brother, James, had much to say about words. And I would encourage you to read the book of James if you'd like to follow up on what we're talking about today. But here's what James has to say. He says, anyone who says he is a Christian but does not control his sharp tongue is just fooling himself, and his religion isn't worth much. Wow. Maybe that's why we say the hardest people to win to Christ is our family. Because they listen to our words. Y'all right? Words are powerful. There's life and death. And what James is saying is, you know what? There's going to be a whole lot of people who struggle with you saying that you're a Christian if you can't control your tongue. You're going to send your son, you're going to send your daughter in a tailspin, in confusion. Because what happens is they're going to say, I know what you say, but I'm observing your behavior. And they don't match. Same way with coworkers. Same way with your friends. And what James is saying here is, you know what? If you're not able to deal with your words, you're just fooling yourself. Your faith isn't worth much. It's not going to make a difference. And Jesus goes on and he talks about the power of words. In Matthew chapter 12, and by the way, you can follow along in your note-taking guide, but here's what Jesus has to say. I mean, it's convicting. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. Ever had that? I have. I've spoken words that came back to haunt me. There will be a time of reckoning. There'll be a time of when they come back. It says words are powerful. Take them seriously. And we're speaking about 16,000 on the average every day. Words can be your salvation, meaning not your personal salvation with God, but they can be your life, that they can save you in different situations. They can save your marriage. They can save your relationships. Or words can also be your damnation. Wow. And so Jesus is saying to you and I that words are powerful and they affect the people in our lives. They affect those people around you and me. And for some reason, God has chosen to be able to give you and I the ability to speak. And in speaking, they either bring forth life or death. If you read about the creation in the book of Genesis, you know what you will read there in Genesis chapter 1. And God spoke, and it happened. And God spoke, and it happened. He spoke, and it brought what? It brought life. It brought life. And so he's letting us know that we're created in his image. And so when you speak and when I speak, what happens is we're either bringing life to that situation or we're bringing death to that situation. And if we're going to take our homies, if we're going to take our family, if we're going to take our relationships to a whole nother level, we have to understand the power of words. Peter, one of Jesus' homies, they were in a conversation and they were having a debate. And Jesus was challenging Peter to go to a whole new level. And Peter responded with these words. He says, "Master, to whom would we go to? You have the words of real life, eternal life." What he was saying is, you know what? There's no one who speaks life into my life like you do. Why would I go to someone else? Why would I want to hang out with those other people? Because you're the one who has the words of real life. You have the words of eternal life, and eternal life doesn't just mean forever. It means a quality of life. And he's saying to Jesus, he is saying, you know what? You speak life into situations that are dead. You speak light into dark situations. Why would I want to go to anyone else? And you see, this is the reason why Jesus was such an attraction. This is why Jesus was contagious. Because when you got around him, he would speak words of life, words of hope, words of healing. And all of us want to be around somebody like that. And so, what's the problem? Why do we struggle with our words? Well, Jesus would give us the answer to that. And Jesus would say, it's your heart. It's my heart. It's your heart. Jesus, in another one of his teachings, he said this. He said, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." Check this out. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. See, he's going back, and this is where James would say that we just read a few moments ago, any Christian who cannot control his tongue, his faith, his religion is what? Worthless. Because he's saying here that each tree is recognized by its own fruit. He says, people do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. He goes on to say, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Look at this. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You ever said this? Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, that's not really who I am. Oh, yes, it is. That's exactly who you are. Your timing was awful, though. My timing was awful. But that's exactly who you are because it's in your heart. And your mouth is only going to speak what's in your heart. And your heart and my heart is revealed through our words. Our words. And what Jesus is saying here is that a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. So what happens is, if you and I are going to speak words of life, then we have to be able to make sure that we're putting good things in our heart. So the entertainment that we choose to watch and view, the books that we choose to read, the music that we choose to listen, all of that, listen, what you're doing and what I'm doing is I'm filling up my heart. I'm storing up my heart. I'm putting things in my heart. And it'll eventually come out. The movies that I watch, the books that I read, the music that I listen. Listen, all of that. We think, it won't affect me. It doesn't bother me. You know, I'm mature. I can't. No. What happens is it gets into your heart, and sooner or later it will come out of your heart through your words. And so he goes on to say, an evil man brings evil things out of the things that are stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And that's why Solomon would come back and say these unbelievable words. Above all else, your number one priority, my number one priority needs to be this: to guard my heart. I need to make sure that I'm storing up good things in my heart. So I need to be careful the movies that I watch. Y'all okay on that one? I need to be careful about the music that I listen to. I need to be careful about the books that I read. I need to be careful about the people that I hang around with. Because it's impacting your heart. It's impacting my heart. And eventually it will come out. Because he says here, above all else, guard your heart. For what? Everything. Everything you do flows from it. Everything you and I do flows from my heart. And it'll even be good or it'll be evil. It'll either be speaking life or it'll be speaking death. And it has a tremendous impact on our relationships. Most people get divorced over the words that they have spoken to one another. Think about it with me. Most relationships suffer great harm basically through the words that we speak to one another. Why? Because there's life and there's death. Think about your broken relationships today. I guarantee you it goes back and it started with words. It started with words. And so we have to understand the power of words, and that we can never underestimate the words that we speak to one another. There's life and there's death. Now there's words of death, and angry words, complaining words, harsh words, resentful words, negative words, judgmental words, gossip words, critical words. Let me ask us this question. Does any of that describe your words? You say, well, I'm not for sure. Because the fact of the matter is, if we go back to this, if we're willing to look at this in a honest way, we're going to be indicted. Okay? You all right on that one? That's why we don't look at it objectively. Because we know that if we look at it objectively, you know what? Guilty. Guilty. But these are words of death. And then there's words of life. Gracious, uplifting, tender, kind, positive, compassionate, blessing, and encouraging. And so we have to come back and we have to ask ourselves, okay, which one of these best describes me? Because words are powerful. They're basically a tool for you and I to use, and I can either build up or I can tear down. I can oppress or I can set free. I can create or I can destroy. And so I have to come back and ask, words of death. Angry, complaining, harsh, resentful, negative, judgmental, gossip, and critical. And you know what we'll probably say? Dwight, I don't speak that. But only to maybe a couple people. And they really take me there. You know, if it wasn't for George, I wouldn't have any of this in my life. If it wasn't for Lucy, I wouldn't have any of this in my life. You know, I would be more for words of life. You know, mine would be gracious and positive and blessing and encouraging. But the fact of the matter is we have to come back to this and we have to ask, are my words death or are my words life? You see, it comes back to our heart. It comes back to your heart. It comes back to my heart. And we have to understand that. And that's the issue with you, and that's the issue with me. Let me explain it to you this way. A heart filled with bitterness speaks angry words. But a heart filled with forgiveness speaks gracious words. And so when I speak angry words, basically what it means, okay, Dwight, what are you bitter about? What are you bitter about? Because I'm not just angry to be angry. I'm angry because I'm bitter about something. Because a heart filled with bitterness speaks angry words. But a heart filled with forgiveness speaks gracious words. Why? Because I understand that God has forgiven me much. And when I understand that God has forgiven me much, what happens is it allows me and gives me the power to be able to release other people who I want to be bitter towards. How about this one right here? A heart filled with entitlement speaks complaining words. So basically, when we complain, you know what we're saying? Your heart is filled with an attitude, I deserve better than this. I deserve special treatment. Whenever you find yourself complaining, you know what? You got a heart of entitlement. Where a heart filled with gratitude speaks uplifting words. I'm thankful for what I have. I got it better than what I deserve. This is incredible. And so what happens is, you see, your heart and my heart lets me know what my heart is filled of, because my words echo those words. How about this one here? A heart filled with guilt speaks harsh words. But a heart filled with peace speaks tender words. You see, if I feel guilty, then I'm going to be on edge. And I'm going to snap. And I'm going to have hard words towards people. But the fact of the matter is, if I'm at peace, well, then I'm chilling. I'm going to speak words that are tender and kind and gentle. How about this one right here? A heart filled with rejection speaks resentful words. But a heart filled with acceptance speaks kind words. You see that? You know, if my life has been filled with rejection, then I'm going to be resentful towards everybody. I'm resentful towards my dad. I'm resentful towards my mom because I feel that they have rejected me. And so what happens is I just cop this whole attitude and I bring it into my marriage. And so what my spouse ends up hearing is a bunch of resentful words, not words that are kind, because I don't feel accepted. I feel rejected. How about this one here? A heart filled with grumbling speaks negative words, okay? And a heart filled with thanksgiving speaks positive words. When we're full of thanksgiving and we understand what we have and how we've been blessed, then what happens is our words are going to be positive. How about this one here? A heart filled with condemnation speaks judgmental words. You know, if I don't feel good about myself, then you know what? I'm not going to let you feel good about you. But a heart filled with love speaks compassion. speaks compassion. Here's another one. A heart filled with jealousy speaks words of gossip. You know, if I'm jealous of someone, then I'm going to gossip about them because I want what they have and I want to bring them down. And so when you gossip, let me ask you this question. Who are you jealous of? Who are you trying to bring down? You see, a heart filled with contentment speaks words of blessing. They bless people. They don't talk about people. And so in your conversations, do you find yourself talking more about people through gossip, or do you find yourself blessing people in that? And then how about this one right here? A heart filled with self-righteousness speaks critical words. I'm right, you're wrong. Or a heart filled with hope. Things can change. Things can get better. Things don't have to remain the way that they are. Speak encouraging words. Wow. You see, it goes back to our heart. It goes back to my heart. And the fact of the matter is, unless I deal with my heart, my words will never change. See, some of us have tried behavior modification. And we just think, you know, I need to change. I need to get my words under control. I need to be able to do this. I need to be able to do that. That will lead you to a life of frustration. Because you and I don't need behavior modification. Though Scripture would definitely talk about that. But that's not the solution for your words. It's not the solution for my words. It's not the solution for the way in which I talk or speak, or the way in which you talk and speak. You know, it goes back to my heart. It goes back to my heart. It goes back to your heart. We don't like that. But that's what Jesus would say. That's what God would say. And so what's the solution for you and I to be able to not just modify our behavior, but to be able to experience a transformation that would affect the way in which you and I speak to one another, the way in which you speak to your spouse, the way in which you speak to your children, the way in which you speak to your parents, the way in which you speak to the people around you? Well, let me give you some things, okay, to think about. Here's the first one. Got to get a new heart. I mean, you got to get a new heart. I got to get a new heart. This is the key, because the issue is the heart. That's the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem about your words and my words is it goes back to my heart. I've got to get a new heart. Here's what Ezekiel would say. Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed. Get rid of it. And get a new heart and a new spirit. And you say, Dwight, how do I do that? Well, you ask God for a new heart. He's the one who's the expert in this. He can give you a transplanted heart, a new heart. And you say, God, I don't want to be this way anymore. And I want a new heart, and I'm asking you to come, and I'm asking you to rid me of all of my offenses, all of my wrongs. I'm asking you to forgive me. And I'm asking you to take out my old heart, and I'm asking you to give me a new heart and a new spirit. I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to come and live within me and be the forgiver of my sins and the leader of my life. He'll do it, and you can do it right now. You can just say, God, I agree with what Dwight's saying, and he knows your heart. He'll do that. And so we got to get a new heart. And then we need to pray what David prayed. Pray this prayer, create in me a clean heart, oh God. God, I want to have a clean heart. I don't want to have a bitter heart. I don't want to have a jealous heart. I don't, because that leads me to say things that I will regret, and it doesn't help the people in my life. Here's the second thing. I need to be able to speak truth. And what I mean by that is to speak truth over my life. Speak truth over my life, because some of our problems, okay, is not just what we have put in our heart. It's what other people have put in our heart by what they have said to you and me, because there's life and death in the tongue. And so I need to be able to speak truth over my life. Here's what Isaiah would say. So will my words be which goes forth from my mouth. This is the Lord speaking. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. God is saying here, my word will not return void, empty. And so what happens is when we speak God's word over our life, what happens is it will accomplish its intent in your life and in my life. And God speaks words of life to you and me. Back to what Solomon said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. You see, when I speak life into me, then guess what I bear? I bear forth the fruit of life. And I end up receiving the consequences of that. And so I need to be able to speak truth over my life every single day, folks. You say, what do you mean? Here's the truth that I think we need to speak. Number one, I'm a child of God. I've got a heavenly Father who loves me, who will provide for me, who will protect me. I need to speak that every single day. How about this one right here? I am loved. That God has loved me with an everlasting love. That there's nothing I can do to cause God to love me more. And there's nothing I can do to cause God to love me less. And I speak it into my life every single day. How about this one right here? I am forgiven. That he's removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. And that in him I have been forgiven. I don't have to live in guilt. I don't have to live in shame. How about this one right here? I am a difference maker. That God has created me to do good works. That he's already predestinated me to be able to be a difference maker. And so when I get up in the morning and I go to work and I interact with people, you know what? I am a difference maker. I am salt and I am light. How about this one right here? I am secure. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of God. And it doesn't matter what I experience or what I hear today. I am secure in Christ. How about this one right here? I am strong. I can handle anything that life throws at me because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I'm equal to everything that life throws at me. How about this one right here? I am accepted by God. So I don't have to go around like some puppy dog trying to get the acceptance of everybody in my life. I've already got the one that counts most, and that is God. I am accepted by God. How about this one right here, folks? I am enough. I don't need a soulmate. I don't need anybody to add to my life. I am enough. Colossians 2:10 tells me that I am complete in Christ, which basically says I'm enough. Just God and me, I am enough. How about this one? I am peaceful, so that you can walk into a meeting, you can walk into a house and say, you know what? I bring peace. I bring peace. I'm not going to be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, I'm going to make my request known to God because I'm his kid, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. How about this one right here? I am thankful. I am thankful. God, I thank you. I can give you thanks in every situation because I'm secure, I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm strong enough to handle it. You see, what happens is you and I not only need to get a new heart, but we need to speak truth over our life and fill our heart because out of the heart, the mouth will speak. Every single morning, I did it today, I'll do it tomorrow. On my iPhone, I read things just like I just led you through. Because I need that. I need to speak truth over my life every single day. And so I need to get a new heart. I need to speak God's word. And then I need to ask God for help every day. I need to ask God for help every day. You know why? Because you and I do not have the ability to control our mouths. We don't have the ability to control our tongue. I think we would all agree with that, wouldn't you? Huh? We can't control it. So I need to say, God, I need supernatural power of you working in my heart and my life, controlling my tongue so that I can speak life and not death. to my marriage, to my kids, to my work, to my homies, to the people in my life. Here's what the psalmist wrote. It says, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Don't let me be judgmental. Don't let me be critical. Don't let me gossip. Don't let me be negative. Don't let me fill in the blank. Let me be one that is thankful and full of gratitude and blessing and encouraging. And so I need to ask God for help every day. And then the last one is this. I need to think before I speak. You need to think before you speak. And this is huge. This is just huge. You need to engage your mind before you engage your mouth. And we need to be able to say, God, I need help on this. James would say it like this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If you find yourself getting angry, then what happens is we have to come back and we have to be quick to listen and not jump to conclusions. And we have to be slow to speak. You know what? I'll talk to you tomorrow about that. And so we need to think before we speak. Now let me ask you a question. Are you willing to go there? Because here's what I believe. You get a new heart, you start speaking truth over your life. You ask God for help every day, and you think before you speak. You know what? In every relationship you have, you will begin to speak life. I promise you. With your spouse, with your kids, with your coworkers, to yourself. You will begin to speak life, and you might even begin to say something like this. Oh, where did that come from? And the people in your life might begin to say that. What is going on in her life? She's speaking words that are positive and not negative. He's speaking words of life and not death. And if you don't want, listen to me. If you don't want to do it for you, do it for them. Because there's people in your life that are dying because of the words that you have spoken to them. There's many people here today that, you know what, your marriage is dying and it's your fault because of the words that you have spoken. The reason why you don't have the relationship with your son or your daughter that you desire is because the words that you have spoken have been death. And they're hurting. And they desperately need you to get a new heart. And begin to speak life to them. And here's the good news. God will meet you there. He will meet me there. And he will begin to turn your words of death, my words of death, into words of life that will bring hope and healing. Let me ask you this question and then I'm done. Who do you need to ask to forgive you because of the words you have used? Who is it? Who is it? I guarantee you, if you will go to them and you will ask for forgiveness, God will begin to bring life to that situation. Now listen, the relationship isn't going to change overnight, okay? Because you're not going to be able to bring them right back to where you want to. But if you will consistently speak words of life, God can work with that and God will resurrect that relationship and do something that you've never experienced before. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. And every one of us here today need this message. It's a universal problem. All of us have it. All of us have been guilty of speaking death when we should have been speaking life. And so we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to change us. We ask you to give us a new heart. We ask that we would begin to speak truth over us and that we would ask you every day for help. So that we can be one who speaks life into the situation and not death. Forgive us, God, for where we have gone wrong. And help us to humble ourselves, to go to those people in our life of where we have spoken death and not life. And help us to be patient, to allow you to bring healing and hope to that situation. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.